Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and thanks for watching Crime Talk, the most unbiased, fact-driven, true crime channel and podcast on YouTube. First on the docket today, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell go mainstream. Second, that guy named Chris. Let's talk about him for a little bit. Third, October 3rd, 1995, 25 years ago. Guess what happened? Next, play the dueling banjo music for this particular story. Suzanne Morphew's brother is out relaying more theories, this time on TV. 600 years in prison ought to be just about enough for this guy. Breonna Taylor recordings. I'd been doing my homework. No real surprises yet. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. Crime Talk is the most unbiased, fact-driven, true crime channel on YouTube. Thanks for watching, and for everyone who downloads our podcast, thanks for listening. First, if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave us a comment below about what we talk about today. First on the docket, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell go mainstream. The Crime Talk aficionados know that we have been following this case from the beginning, and there's been a few mentions here or there, but finally, 48 Hours has done a story on the discovery of JJ and Tylee Ryan and the facts that led up to their discovery based upon the investigation by the police. It's not surprising that the rest of the world is finally figuring out that Tylee and JJ were once the most famous missing children in America, and people wanted to know what happened to them. Unfortunately, as we all learned about back in the preliminary hearing, we heard the gruesome details regarding the discovery of JJ and Tylee. 48 Hours goes into this exchange based upon the preliminary hearing, but guess what? This was back in August. Here we are in October. They're doing a story on it. You can actually go to the link here and watch the entire preliminary hearing with my analysis because we were streaming it live with my commentary. Don't let the news media pigeonhole you into a particular theory. Get all the facts yourself. The best way to get all the facts yourself is obviously watch the preliminary hearing in its entirety versus a few snippets from the entire proceedings. Next on the docket, let's talk about that guy named Chris. If we mention his last name, guess what happens? You betcha. YouTube censorship machine goes into place and the matter is blocked. Why? I think it has a lot to do with certain family members who have done everything in their power to make sure that nobody talks about anyone related to Chris unless they're getting their piece of the pie from it, so to speak. We'll let you use your own imagination where that may be coming from. Needless to say, our previous videos have been getting tons of views about this particular case. Why is that? That's right. The new interest as it relates to the Netflix series, The Family Next Door. One of the videos that's received the most views lately is our one that said, is this the email that started it all? And although the documentary of The Family Next Door mentions Nicole Kessinger and this guy named Chris, we're the ones that actually brought you the actual email that was ultimately released in the discovery process. If you go to our playlist, you can see all of the playlists regarding Chris. You can also see his later statements that are made after he is in prison, whereby you will see why he would never have any success at a 35C or post-conviction relief that we've talked about. there are a lot of people. I was very surprised by the number of people that said that the confession obtained was psychological coercion. I have litigated and won motions where things were done based upon psychological coercion. I don't think that there's actually enough there for psychological coercion. Could have been a little better? Sure. Could it have not been the old patting him on the back, it's going to be okay, that kind of thing? But the reality of it is he confessed to his dad on video before the police were really doing anything. I'm telling you once again, there's no way this Chris guy is going to get any relief on his 35C motion if he ever files it. And whomever's giving him legal advice and pumping him up thinking it's all going to be okay based upon the audio recording that's been floating around the internet, he is receiving bad, bad legal advice. And unless that guy wants to bankroll it for an attorney, and unless he is an attorney, and unless he's going to put his money where his mouth is and do it for free, it seems like somebody's looking for their 15 minutes of fame. Next on the docket, guess what happened 25 years ago on October 3rd, 1995. So 25 years ago and 2 days later. Orenthal James Simpson was found not guilty. You know, if the glove does not fit, you must acquit. That case. O.J. Simpson has now been released from prison in Nevada. Of course, it had nothing to do with his charges back in California. This was when he wanted to liberate memorabilia items that he thought was being sold without his permission or had been stolen from him. So he was trying to make sure those came back to him, and he got that burglary charge. And I'm sure he's still out looking for the real killer out on the golf course. But can you imagine 25 years ago? Man, I must be getting old, because I remember literally listening for a year every day of that trial, because it was broadcast on radio and I could listen to it, and I could drive everywhere listening to it, that I had to go to school and whatever. I was back in law school at the time. Crazy, crazy, crazy that it's 25 years ago. Next on the docket, roll dueling banjos for this story. That's right. Last week, a judge in West Virginia sentenced a woman to 40 years in prison for the death of her boyfriend with the assistance of her biological father so that she could marry her biological father. Once again, fiction, stranger than life. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. Amanda Michelle Naylor McClure, she's 31, was sentenced for her role in relation to the death of John Thomas McGuire. McClure had been dating McGuire while both were living in Minnesota. McGuire's remains were discovered in 2019 in West Virginia, and McClure pled guilty to second-degree murder back in July, a month before her sex offender father, Larry Paul McClure, was sentenced to life without mercy for McGuire's death. Larry McClure, a Kentucky man, was living in West Virginia after being released from prison, where he served time for sex offense charges. Amanda McClure was estranged from her father. She was raised by an adoptive parents. The pair later became involved in an incestuous relationship and married in Virginia nearly a month after the murder. When asked why McClure had to die, Amanda stated that he was, quote, with me, and my dad didn't want anyone else near me. What can you say, ladies and gentlemen? You can't make this stuff up. Had a very similar case once where a child was deceased and the mother was with the father, and as it turned out, the mother had been impregnated by her father, and they actually held themselves out as married when renting apartments. Very bizarre set of facts. You can't make this stuff up, but this stuff happens every day out there. Hopefully not every day, and hopefully not that much when it does, but it does in fact happen. Next on the docket, let's take a quick recess to kind of refocus. Please go to crimetalksearch.com and sign up for a background subscription service. you will be happy that you did. When you sign up, you can anonymously search as many people as you want to. And in today's era where everybody meets online, you can't really judge and assess one's credibility, particularly if you're going to start dating them, whether you're going to be safe or not. What does it hurt to do a quick background search? Go to crimetalksearch.com. When you do, that report will be generated while you wait, and you can get information related to criminal history, property records, marital records, judgments, convictions related to any criminal matters, emails, phone numbers, and social media information. I'm telling you, we use this in our law firm. We used it just the other day for somebody that was getting to know somebody in someone's family. We did it, and guess what? We found out they had some things in their background that no one was aware of, and it certainly brought a lot of caution to that person going into that relationship. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy that you did. Next on the docket, a Suzanne Morphew update. That's right. The brother of Suzanne Morphew, who organized a search a few weeks ago here in the state of Colorado, Mr. Andrew Mormon. That's right. He is now appearing on the Dr. Phil show, and he states on national TV that he believes that although the authorities have not named a person of interest in the particular case, he believes and is confident that the investigators are building a case against Barry Morphew. Now, the husband has stated that he was in Broomfield, Colorado at the time that Suzanne Morphew went missing on Mother's Day up in the mountains near Salida, near their residence. Obviously, several months have now passed and no charges. It's also alleged by Mr. Mormon that his brother-in-law is no longer cooperating with the police and has refused to take a polygraph. There's also some other nuances which you can look at previous videos that we've done, but the reality of it is you can relay your theories, and obviously we give everyone the presumption of innocence unless and until they are either found guilty in a court of law or whether they plead guilty in a court of law. Mr. Morphew has not been charged, and if the prosecution thought they had enough, they would have done it by now. There simply is not enough evidence, and unless there's some new break, some new development, I don't see charges coming forward anytime soon. Next on the docket, 600 years ought to be enough for this guy. Meet Matthew Miller. He's 32, and he was charged with 20 counts of enticing two children under the age of five. We'll just leave it right there. But as you can imagine, let's just say photographs were in fact taken, but Mr. Miller was discovered by the authorities and ultimately pled guilty. He was sentenced based upon the 20 counts in which he pled guilty to that's right, 600 years in prison ought to be just about enough. We're not going to go into details, but I'm sure you can imagine what he did to those two children under five. Now, I can tell you, there are people that do things to teenagers, but there is a whole level of disgusting for people that go after children. And the only time I've ever felt as though I was actually going to get sick when looking at evidence, and I can eat my lunch looking at autopsy photos, is when I had to go view a client that had very similar allegations to this. It was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen, and it is just a whole new level of individuals in that particular case, and we'll just leave it right there because their whole philosophy is you have to get them while they're young so they don't have any memory of it. Let's just leave it there. It is absolutely disgusting. Well, the Breonna Taylor grand jury recordings have been released. We put those up. We obtained them directly from the Attorney General last week there in the state of Kentucky. They've been put up. You can listen to everything, word for word. The only thing that's been edited is what the Attorney General did, which was edit out some of the names so that they cannot be identified of the individuals that are actually testifying. So far, and I'm going to tell you, I have not got through all of them yet. There's roughly about 15 hours of audio, but you can listen to it all. But what I've heard so far, nothing at this point shocks me or says that there was any misconduct on behalf of the prosecutors in this particular case. Many people were upset, and apparently a grand juror one of the recordings released because he didn't feel as though there was a presentment of charges as it relates to several officers in this particular case. But the reality of it is, yes, the grand jury, you've heard the term, you can indict a ham sandwich. You can also not indict anybody you want. It depends on the charges that are presented. The grand jury doesn't say, we're going to come up with this charge. The district attorney comes up with the charge, or in this case, the attorney general. They present the charges. The grand jury only decides on what is presented. They can't say, hey, we want more charges on this particular person. It's only what information is presented to the grand jury by the district attorney or attorney general in this particular case. So far, nothing jumps out to me as anything that is inappropriate or offensive to the legal process thus far. And if it does, we'll talk about it. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's first talk about our winner from last week. And our winner from last week is Justin Garcia, who got into a fight and ultimately cut somebody with a knife over the life or death decision and ultra important opinion that must have been persuaded. That's right. Almond milk or whole milk? You can't make this stuff up. That's right. There was a big fight. It was still unclear what proposition Mr. Garcia was arguing for, but I'm thinking it was almond milk, but it got him arrested. And the only good thing that's come out of this is that Justin Garcia is our dumb criminal contestant of the week. And that's right. We will be finding him and sending him a Crime Talk mug. If you would like this Crime Talk mug or any other merchandise, simply go to the Teespring link below. You can look at all the products that are there. You hit what you want and they'll ship it out to you within a few days. You can't go wrong. Let's talk about our dumb criminal contestant of the day today. Please meet Beth Ann Franchak. Miss Franchak, like other dumb criminals, we've seen this before, purchased a bag of methamphetamine. She turned out that the methamphetamine was junk, and she wanted to let the world know that it was junk because you can't have people going around selling bunk methamphetamine. So what did Miss Franchak do? She went to the police department and said that she purchased this bag of $20 worth of methamphetamines, and she would like to turn it over to the police because it was junk. Apparently, she's going to save all the good stuff for her. Let's get that crappy stuff off the streets. Needless to say, Miss Franchak's good deed of the day didn't go so well. That's right. She was arrested for possession of a controlled substance. Why? Because methamphetamines is a Schedule II controlled substance, which is illegal everywhere in the United States. And she ultimately had to be placed in jail and released on a $2,000 bond. Keep track of our dumb criminal contestants. Obviously, we'll do a recap at the end of the week. You never know who is going to be the winner. Every week, we always seem to have some real strong competition. No fakers like Ms. Franchak's methamphetamine. Nope, these are truly dumb individuals. All right, thanks for watching Crime Talk today. I do start a trial tomorrow, so we're going to try to put something up, but we still plan to be here live tomorrow night, but it'll probably push back to about 6:30 p.m., Mountain Time for a start time, and then we'll go straight into our Patreon as well. Please join us. If you haven't already signed up for Patreon, please do that on the link below as well. Have a great day. Thanks for watching Crime Talk, and please let me know what your thoughts are about what we talked about today. Have a great day.